is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, yesterday we heard Job cry out to God, but only got silence. Like us, he wanted to know where God is when we are faced with adversity. Well, today the tables are reversed, and God asks Job, and in so doing he asks us, who are we to question his wisdom with such ignorant words? In a moment, Kenneth will bring us part two of Praying Through Perplexity.
Hi there, everyone. It's good to have you join us as we continue with the second part of Praying Through Perplexity. And this is a consideration based on the book of Job and his extended experience of suffering and affliction under the permission of God. We're taking a broad sweep through the book of Job, focusing on the perspective of praying through perplexity. And I mentioned that there are three phases in his prolonged plight in prayer. And we have dealt with the first two, namely, when bad things happen in adversity and when nothing happens in perplexity. Now let's move on to the third and the pleasant part, when good things happen. And this is about clarity. That's when we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel and things begin to make sense again. As our hearts are settled in God, and things begin to fall in place, we can begin to see the wider horizon of God's hand and His perfect plans. We now come towards the last few chapters of the 40-chapter book of Job. After the many rounds of long and interminable dialogues with his friends, Job is at last ready for a real heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit dialogue with God. I would like to look at four things, more or less in the order in which they appear in these last chapters of Job. And the first I shall call the answering in the whirlwind. And let me jump in Job chapter 38, reading from verse 1 through to 3. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Notice that's how the Lord answered Job at last, out of the whirlwind. God speaks out of the din and the desolation of everything that we have been going through. As suddenly as the disasters first came, so deliverance will follow, just as suddenly once we are ready to hear Him speak. God doesn't take 1 minute longer then it's required for us to come to the place to be still and to know His God. Often the delay is not on His part, but on ours. Once all the conditions are met and are satisfied, He will begin to work at once without further delay. You know, there's something called the eye of a storm, where there's this seeming paradox with a great calm in the middle of a raging and swirling hurricane or a twister and tornado. So like the eye of the storm, we find God in the inner stillness and calm of ourselves, not in the outer swirling of the situation, no matter how bad it seems. Destruction and desolation may abound all around on the outside, but if we abide with Him in the eye of the storm, we shall be preserved by the shadow of the Almighty. And so it is we find that when God begins to speak, He speaks out of the whirlwind. And this is mentioned a second time further on in chapter 40, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." That's exactly a repetition of what we read earlier and what God said in chapter 38. And what we find now is a reversal of roles, with God asking the questions and we having to give the answers instead. When we are pounding heaven with all of our questions, heaven seems like brass and God seems silent. There seem to be no answers. But when we have run out of things to say, as Job did, and we are still before God, he begins to ask the questions and to elicit or to draw out the answers from us. Do you know that questions are very effective in redirecting and reshaping our thinking? And when we honestly try to answer what God is asking of us, we will begin to see things from His point of view. And by the way, questions and answers work the other way around too. In prayer, when we are asking God, the answers we get depend on what we ask and how we ask. And very often we ask the wrong question, or we ask for the wrong thing, and hence we get no answer, or we get an answer that is vastly different from what we had expected. So that's the first thing, the answering in the whirlwind. And be prepared to be surprised by God while you wait patiently for Him. The second thing I would like to talk to you about when good things happen and when we get clarity is this, the acknowledgement of God. And we get a sense of this when we read in the last chapter of Job, Job chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. This is not just a nominal kind of knowing. He's able to say, I know, out of the depths of all the experiences that he had gone through. And never bank on and just be complacent with what you know of or about God from your past experience. Be prepared to be launched out into the deep and to know God in a deeper way by being brought through the depths of desolation and darkness, as Job did. We begin to know when our eyes are lifted upwards to see the sovereign God who is over all things. And once again, this is the place of knowing that I am God in Psalm 46 verse 10. And when we reach this place, we find that the boundary conditions of prayer have changed. We find that they are no longer limited by plausibility. Plausible means to speak convincingly. It doesn't depend anymore on the plausibility of man's thoughts. But rather, we find the boundary conditions of prayer all but vanish in the boundless possibility of God's thoughts. So instead of judging things with an external eye and making an unconscious mental computation of the probability of things happening, you know, or the likelihood of my prayer being answered or being worked out this way and that way, they all suddenly become totally irrelevant. We move from man's plane to God's plane, from the earthly to the heavenly. We're no longer limited or constrained in our thinking and our praying by the possibility of a scenario playing out, but only by the possibility in God. That's what it means to acknowledge God. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. And for many people, it takes a long time to reach this place of realization. That is why God's delays are sometimes not His denials, but rather they are designed to draw us to this vital place where we allow Him to work freely and to work fully in our lives. Francis of Assisi said this, when we pray to God, we must be seeking nothing, nothing. It does sound a little strange, doesn't it? But notice that double emphasis touches on the whole object of prayer, which is all about God and not about me or my needs or my prayer agenda. One of the basic problems in prayer is that we often bring everything else with us except God when we come to the meeting. You know, it's like going for a meeting with everything prepared, we come with our agenda, but the chairman is not there. If the person who is presiding over the meeting, who is the most important person in the meeting, is not present, there isn't going to be a meeting. So likewise in our prayers, we often bring along with us all our problems, our perplexities, our petitions. We have everything else but God, and we can simply be replaying these things over in our mind and thinking them through aloud, so that we are really talking to ourselves or to the wall rather than to God Himself. And in the same vein, Oswald Chambers said the same thing in a slightly different way. He said we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. And that's a very powerful and practical point with regard to praying through perplexity. Learn to pray with your eyes on God, not on the difficulties. So that's the second thing, the acknowledgement of God. When we fix our eyes on Him, we will begin to see things as He sees them. The third thing, which will lead to the situation when good things happen and when clarity begins to crystallize, is this. It's the abhorring of self. And we read something of this a few verses further down in the same final chapter 42 of the book of Job. Job 42, verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is the opposite realization to knowing that He is God, and it is to know that I am but dust and ashes. It is to know that I'm nothing and that I can do nothing. It is to know that my own purposes and plans can be thwarted and can be thrown completely out of orbit. When I see the glory of God, I see my own depravity. It is in the dazzling brightness of the holiness of God and the beauty of God that we begin to behold the ugliness of self. When you enter a room in semi-darkness, you can hardly tell the difference where there is a lot of dust or dirt. But when the bright rays of the sunshine begin streaming in through the window, you can see all the dust particles and where the dirt lies on the floor or the grease is on the window pane. In fact, from back in chapter 40, when the Lord first met him in a whirlwind, this is what Job said in chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. So it has to begin with a vision of our own vileness. And we have to get through this difficult operation to remove the spine of self-righteousness in us. And this is exactly what the great prophet Isaiah encountered when he had a vision of God's holiness and glory, as well as his own depravity and vileness. We read of this in Isaiah chapter 6. When he heard the angelic beings, the seraphim, crying out to one another in verse 3, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This was what Isaiah said in verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Whereupon in verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And it was only then that he was able to overhear the call of God and to be able to offer himself as fit and equipped and ready and available to be sent by God. In verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. We are often apt to overlook the great necessity and imperative of this inward work where self is truly abhorred so that it will be truly crucified and we can be set free so that God will be free to work through us. And for some of us, it takes such a long time, as it did with another patriarch in the Old Testament, Jacob. And we read of his life-changing encounter with God on that last night before he had to meet his elder brother face to face again after many years when he had been trying to run his own life according to his own way. His life had been one long struggle after another, always striving to get his own way. Even right up to the very end when God was dealing with him, he was still struggling. And this is how he commemorated that experience in Genesis 32 verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which literally means the face of God. So then the experience of yet another great man of God, we find the coinciding of the dying of self with the seeing of God. It was the experience of Jacob, it was the experience of Isaiah, and it was the same experience of Job. And this is why we need to pray through a period of perplexity so that we come to this place of victory. Interestingly, we find Job mentioned in the New Testament in the book of James, where he refers to him in James chapter 5, verses 10 to 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. I want you to notice that little word, intended. You have seen the end intended by the Lord. This is the Lord's intended end. That's His intention in permitting us to go through a period of perplexity and problems. It is not arbitrary, neither is it frivolous. There is an intention and a purpose behind it. In the New International Version, it says what He finally brought about. So as with Job, so it is for us. God intends and He brings about something deeper and higher in our lives that was never there before. And that is to see something more of God as well as of ourselves. Above all, Job stood for patience and perseverance. And patience and perseverance has no meaning apart from the context of perplexity and adversity. And patience and perseverance brings us into a personal possession of God's promises. So that's the third thing, abhorring of self. And the fourth thing is the accepting of prayer as the outcome in this third phase when good things begin to happen and clarity is distilled. The accepting of prayer, we read on again in the last chapter of Job, chapter 42, in verses 8, 9, and 10. We find Job's three friends reappearing on the scene, but again there is a role reversal. Instead of them offering unsolicited advice to Job in his suffering, now Job is called upon to pray and to intercede for them so that they will be blessed. Let me read from Job 42 verse 7. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Verse 8, Now therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And so in the next verse 9, we read that Eliphaz and his two other friends, they went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. Now that's the point that I want to press here. The Lord accepted Job. And that's the basis for the subtitle, The Accepting of Prayer. Things begin to move favorably. The tide began to turn when Job was accepted before God. And this was as a result of his acknowledgement of God and his abhorring of self. Now notice that at no time during his extended period of tribulation and trial was Job rejected by God. But as long as he was mulling around in his own thoughts and groveling in self-pity, God's hand of blessing and God's voice was withheld from him as it were. But now that he had come through this period of darkness and perplexity to a higher level, God was once again showing His acceptance of the person of Job and his prayers. In fact, in the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 14, verses 14 and 20, Job is described as one of three righteous men, together with Noah and Daniel. And these three were mainly commended for their righteousness. They were righteous men. But even then, they could only deliver themselves from God's judgment on their perverse and wicked generations in which they lived. Reading on in verse 10 of Job 42, And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This is very much like the double portion that is due to the firstborn son. And did you notice from verse 10 that it follows from praying for others, not for self? The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. So Job's praying through perplexity was God's training for real intercessors. We are apt to easily give up on the people we are praying for. until and unless we have ourselves been brought through a prolonged period of perplexity and problems, and we understand through personal experience what perseverance and patience means. You can say this is the intended end of God, which we read earlier in James chapter 5, and further on in that same chapter of James 5, down in verse 16, he talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if you are going through a period of prolonged perplexity, this could be the intended end. It's to build perseverance in prayer so that we come through it having the patience and the perseverance of Job. He who has suffered much can pray much, and he who has suffered long can pray long. Don't just pray convergent prayers focusing on yourself. Also pray divergent prayers to include others. Shower them with God's love. Cover them with your prayers so that you can be a channel of God's blessing to others. There is only so much we need for ourselves, but God has so much more to give than one person can take. So if you have allowed your hearts and your horizons to be expanded by God, by praying through perplexity, you'll be in a position to be a blessing to others. And even if you find yourselves right now in having to pray through a period of perplexity, do not stop being refreshed by His presence and being reached by His Word.
You know, there comes a time in our spiritual journey when we simply have to acknowledge that God is sovereign. He can do everything, and no purpose of His will be withheld from Him. Thank you for that, Kenneth. Join us again next time when Kenneth brings us another reflection from God's Word. Right now, though, here's how you can be in contact with us. You can send us a text message, 94313813. You can write a letter to us, the mailing address, Post Office Box, 392 Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. You can visit us on Facebook, and there you can get the latest updates. You can socialize with the other Times of Refreshing fans, and you can give us your views on our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program or you can download it at your leisure. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access broadcast messages and podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.